my hand, everlasting portion,
more than death or life to
more
me,
more than friend or life to me,
all along my pilgrim's journey,
all along my pilgrim journey,
Savior, let me walk with
Savior,
you.
Let me walk with thee,
close to thee,
close to thee,
close to
thee, close to thee,
close to thee,
all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee,
not for ease or worldly pleasure.
Not for his or worldly pleasure.
Not for fame, my prayer shall be.
Not for fame, my prayer shall be.
Gladly will I toil and suffer.
Gladly will I toil and suffer.
Only let me walk with you.
Only let me walk with thee.
Close to 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 thee. Gladly will I toil and suffer. Only let me walk with thee.
Lead me through the veil of shadows.
Lead me to the veil of shadows.
Guide me over life's fitful sea.
Bear me on life's fitful sea.
Then the gate of life eternal.
Then the gate of life eternal.
May I enter, Lord, with you.
May I enter, Lord, with thee.
Close to 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 thee. Close to thee.
Close to thee.
Then the gate of life eternal. May I enter, Lord, with thee.
Close to thee.
Close to thee.
Close to thee.
Close to thee. Close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal. May I enter, Lord, with thee.
I don't know, but you know Demas in the Bible. I don't believe Demas planned to fall back into the world. And I don't also believe that Judas actually thought in his mind or somewhere when he was probably walking with Jesus that he would ever betray Jesus. One of the stories that funny stories around it is that he actually thought that because Jesus Christ is powerful, when he betrays Jesus, Jesus Christ will just miraculously save himself. But when it didn't happen like that, of course, he killed himself. Men don't plan to fall away. Men don't plan to kill God. Men have made promises to God in the past. Men have told God that they would work with him. Better men. Men who were far more humble than you can ever be now. And they've fallen away. And if Jesus Christ says that, many in that day shall say to him, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name, we did that in your name. And he will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And if we don't understand early that Jesus Christ does not have customers. He's not into customer service. In customer service, you will say customer is always right. You may be loved by him, but you are only his favorite to the extent that you honor him. No person is his favorite if the person is not honoring him. So it is good that you and I understand that early. He loves us, that's the truth. He loves us with an everlasting love. But if you are going to remain his favorite, then you must honor him. You must understand that he comes first. He is everything. I want us to talk to God this morning that based on this hymn that we sang this morning, that the Lord will please help us to walk with him. that the Lord will help us to see what the people, what the elders, or what our patriarchs saw in the name of Jesus Christ, that which convinced them that the reality of heaven, we will be convinced by the realities of heaven, we will be consumed by the realities of heaven, and then we will be consoled by the realities of heaven in the name of Jesus, so that we may be able to say like a man, like Paul, that these things do not move me, neither do I count my life to be anything, for so that I may finish the race that is before me, and that I may fulfill the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ. For if a man must make such declaration, it must be that which is at the end of the finish line, that which is at the end of that line, is much more important than what is here. The worldly treasures, the worldly riches and affluence and all that, because the truth is this, when a man has made up his mind to follow God, he will be tested in every area. That's the truth. I don't know how we are going to stand when fame comes. I don't know how we are going to stand when possession comes. But we are going to be tested in every area. When lack comes, how are we going to stand? When suffering, tribulations, persecutions, when inconveniences come, when the things that you are used to, when they stop, you know, coming your way, when things stop falling in place before, you know, the way you expect them to be, how are we going to respond? Better men have made declarations before Jesus, and they have failed him. And the truth is, we cannot say that, Lord, we are not going to fail you. That's not because we'll be behaving like Peter. But we would always remember that we are humans, and we can entrust ourselves to him. And therefore, I want us to lift our voices to God this morning. That, Lord, we are entrusting ourselves to you. For the Bible says that with man this is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So we know that unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to bring us before his presence holy and blameless, it is to that God that we are committing our souls. He told Abimelech, he said, I have kept you because I know, you know, the innocence in your heart. Therefore, I have kept you from sinning against me. Lord, keep me from sinning against you. Keep me from turning against you. Keep me from leaving the way. Keep me from being possessed by the things of the world. I don't know how I'm going to respond to them, but I know that you are powerful. I know that you are able to save me. I know that you are able to keep I and my brethren. I'm asking, oh God, that you will keep us on this way. We have said before you this morning that not for ease or worldly pleasure. Strengthen us so that when these things begin to come, Lord, we will not fall away in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Lord God, we want to say thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for what you began with us yesterday. Thank you, God, for how you explained it to us why we need to study the Bible. Thank you, God, for making your word available to us. Thank you because it is a love letter written to us to understand how we are going to journey through this world to come into your kingdom. Let us be glorified in Jesus' name. Let us continue again today. We ask, O God, that you will expound your word to us again in Jesus' name. Speak to each and every one of us in Jesus' name. And grant us understanding to be able to, from henceforth, put into practice what you're going to teach us today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Praise God. Praise the living Jesus. By God's grace, yesterday we looked at why we need to study the Bible. The course, once again, is how to study the Bible. And like I said yesterday, we'll expect that it should be a practical course. Excuse me. It should be a practical course. So that means there shouldn't be much talk. It should just be, okay, this is how you do, this is how you do it. But I said it is expedient that we'll understand why we need to study the Bible. So we don't, you know, have the wrong attitude when we come into God's Word. So we don't treat God's Word like it's just any other book. We explained yesterday that the Word of God is not just any other book. The Word of God is a person. The Word of God is the person of Jesus. The Word of God is God. The Word of God is infallible. Whatever the Word of God says about you, that is the situation. Whatever the Word of God says about a circumstance, about a person, that is actually the whole truth about it. And we've talked about these various attitudes you can have to find God's Word for your life. That you must come in sincerity. You must come in humility. You must come in truth. Praise God. But before we move into our teaching today, it's expedient that we read a particular scripture. Hebrews 2 verse 1. And we'll compare it with Mark 4 verse 24, Amplified Classic. Praise God. Hebrews 2 verse 1, New King James Version. Then Mark 4 verse 24, preferably Amplified Classic. If you have it, you can read it.
Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away.
You must give a more earnest heed to the things you have heard. Why must you do so? Lest you drift away. Why must you give earnest heed to studying the Bible? Why must you study the Bible? If you don't study the Bible for your soul, you can't escape it. I wrote here, there's a place where I wrote here. If you don't study the Bible for your soul, you will sin. That one is certain. You will be worldly. You can't escape it. You will always be in the flesh. You can't escape that one. And you will always be defeated by the devil. You can't escape those four things if you don't study God's word for your soul. Mark 4, verse 24.
And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Mm. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear.
Praise God. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure, this is Jesus speaking. In case you think Jesus had nothing to say about it, this is Jesus speaking. He said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes to you. That tells me something. To the extent that I give myself to God's word, is the magnitude of virtue and knowledge that I will have. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by God's word. Now, if I give myself to consistent thinking and studying God's word, I will have virtue and I will have knowledge. Do you understand? So when you see a man who is progressing in his walk with God, you have seen a man who is consistently sitting with Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus, thinking upon the truth that he's hearing from Jesus and studying it. If you don't study the word of God for your life, if you don't study it for your soul, you can never, there's no two ways about it. You can never make progress in your walk with God. It's not possible. Progress in your walk with God comes with sitting at Jesus' feet. Do you understand? Then before I also delve into it, one last thing. Jesus Christ was telling in the book of, I think, Luke 10, towards the last few verses, Jesus was scolding Martha. Martha was running around doing a lot of activities and all that. And Jesus Christ told her, you think that this thing matters. I'm paraphrasing. You think that this is all that matters, but that's not the truth. Your sister Mary has found the most important thing, and it will never be taken away from her. The most important ministry you have as a Christian, as a believer, is to sit with Jesus. Beyond church activities, beyond being a church member, beyond being a worker, your most important activity is to be with Jesus. If anything is going to die, I consistently say, if anything is going to die so that I will stay with Jesus, everything else must die. Do you understand? If anything else must come second so that I will be with Jesus, that must happen to you. And that's the only way you will make progress in your walk with God. I pray the Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. So the topic again is today we're looking strictly at how to study the Bible. The purpose of study is to understand or familiarize yourself with a matter. As the word indicates, study, which is an act of considering a thing. When you are studying, you are considering a thing in detail and you are subjecting it to analysis in order to discover its essential features or meaning. Now, study requires giving diligent, focused and concentrated attention to a particular matter. So, if you are not giving diligent, focused and concentrated attention to a matter, maybe you want to study Bible or whatever matter you want to study, it is not study. So that means if you keep thinking, I don't have time, but I can spare 10, you can't spare 10 minutes to study the Bible. Do you understand? You can't spare 10 minutes to fellowship with God. You can't spare. You have to make up your mind that I'm going to be with God. and I'm going to study the word. And you have to be focused. So that means there's no Twittering, there's no Facebooking, there's no WhatsApping. While you're studying, you're distracting yourself that way. And you have to be concentrated. You have to focus probably on one topic or whatever topic that you're studying. Praise God. This is the same with the study of the Bible. The kind of study described here goes beyond just reading the Bible to pass the time. We're not talking about just reading the Bible. You could study the Bible to familiarize yourself with scriptures, topics, events, or persons in the scriptures, or to understand what God said or wants to say about a situation in your life. Now, let me just say this. There are two kinds of studies. I choose to, do it that way. There are two kinds of studies. There is what I call the deep study. There's what I call the light study. Obviously, by the name, the deep study, actually, in deep study, you are thoroughly looking into a particular verse or chapter or a Bible book you're studying so that you can understand it intensely. Do we understand that? But in light study, you just want to have a fair understanding of the verse, topic, or chapter for the time being or for pleasure. So as you can obviously guess, studying of these kinds take time. Bible study takes time. Let me just tell you up front. Bible study takes time. If you are going to know God, it will take time. It will take a lot of time. So you must prepare your mind for that. Yet, the benefits are monumental. Now, before we begin to look at how to study the Bible, I want us to look at some of the benefits. I want us to read Psalm 91, verse 9 to 10, Jeremiah 29, 13 to 14, Daniel 11, verse 32, Isaiah 45, verse 19. I'll take it again. Study takes a lot of time, of course, but the benefits are monumental. Psalm 91, verse 9 to 10. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 to 14. Daniel 11, verse 32. Isaiah 45, verse 19. Let's read them quickly, then we'll go on.
Psalm 91, verse 9 to 10. Because you have made the Lord, who is my Who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling.
Because you have made God your habitation, you have made God your dwelling place. That means you have decided to dwell in the secret counsel of God, to fellowship with Him. No evil will befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. That means your thoughts will be guided by God's word. And when your thoughts are guided by God's word, your actions will naturally be guided by God's word. People would look at you and be able to trace your actions to God's word. So if you're a Christian and you've noticed that nothing has been changing in your life, you should look at how you've been giving yourself to God's word. Jeremiah 29:13-14. Jeremiah 29:13-14.
And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive.
When you seek the Lord, you will find him. He intends to reveal himself to you. As many as would come to him, Jesus speaking, he will by no means cast away. Daniel 11:32 says that they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. That means if you don't know your God, you will not be strong and you will not do exploits. Isaiah 45 verse 19.
I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the heart. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right.
Praise God. Amplified Classic says that, I did not ask you to seek me for nothing, but I promised you a just reward. So that means when you seek God, you have a reward. Praise God. And do you know what? Let me just share this before I continue. One of the interesting things about study is this. You might actually come into the Word of God to study, maybe on faith. By the time you're leaving, I can actually guarantee you that you won't just leave based on, you wouldn't just live with the understanding of faith. God would have added so many other things to it. Do you understand? Coming into God's presence to study is like coming into the presence of a king. You are not going to leave the presence of that king with just one gift. You are going to leave with several gifts. And because this king loves you, you won't just leave with the understanding of faith. It will have several other things that you did not even expect him to talk about. So please. So let's move on now. Then of course, it is important that you should not study or seek God only when you are in trouble. This is very, 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 very important. You should not try to study only when you are in trouble. Even when things are rosy, even when things are going well for you, you should still seek God. You don't seek God because you want to get out of trouble. You seek God because you have to know Him. Your life is tied to God. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that He has kept eternity in the hearts of man. So man will always yearn for God. God has kept eternity in your heart. And the only thing that can fill that space in your heart is the eternal God. That is why when men have actually reached the peak of their success, you begin to hear that they start having issues. Maybe they start thinking of suicide or something. It's because they've come to a point where there's nothing else they gain in this world. And their heart is still yearning, still hungering for something. That, quote unquote, something they are hungry for is actually God, the space God has left in their heart. There is eternity in your heart and only God can fill it. Now, let's look at the different study strategies. Now, to study effectively, now let's start. You could study one. I have like four strategies there, but I won't try to go into strategy. I'll just go straight into how to study. To study effectively, it's like module one, the different study strategies. Okay, how to study effectively. To study effectively, A, you could study a chapter of a book, then an entire book, or a book, just like a book. When I mean a book, I hope you know what I mean, is a book in the scripture, not just your normal book. When I mean book, you could decide you want to study the book of Genesis. You could decide you want to study the book of Matthew. You understand? For example, let's say you want to study the book of John now. The book of John basically talks about the life of Jesus. Do you understand? The book of Mark actually talks about mostly about the miracles of Jesus. Do you understand? So you could decide, okay, I want to understand the miracles of Jesus and all that. So you go to the book of Mark. You understand? You could decide that I want to understand the words of Jesus, how to begin to imitate Jesus immediately. As a new believer, new believers are always encouraged to read, first of all, the book of John. Now, this is why. Because most of the things that you can begin to imitate from the life of Jesus basically are loaded there. Do you understand? So, you could decide, number five, to study a person in the scripture. A person in the scripture. You could decide to study Samson. You could decide to study Saul. You could decide to look at the life of David, like that, Abraham, Noah, and all that. You could decide to study events in the scripture. That's the last one. Events like rapture, like the second coming, like the plagues in the Bible, you know, the plague in Egypt. You could decide that you want to study to find out, okay, what happened and blah, blah. Now, let's get to it. I'm not sure if these strategies that I have here would work, but I'll try to see if I can implement them. I actually have four study strategies that I highlighted here. The first one is the questioning strategy. The second one is, I call it the split strategy. Then the third one, I call it the case study strategy. Then the fourth one, I call it the application strategy. Now, let's look at how they can apply. They can all apply. I think I'll just do that. Now, let's look at, you want to study a verse in the scripture. So let's look at a verse like John 3:16. Do you understand? So please, let's write John 3:16. So what's in John 3:16? Everybody. You could stay with John 3:16 for years, and you will still get, you keep getting new things from it. But let's just leave it at that. So John 3:16. Point this out. He's going to write the scripture out. Now, there is a reason we could easily recite, he could write it on the board himself. You understand? Just write it without thinking. He can write it by heart. But there is a reason why he should not write it by heart. Now, because yesterday we mentioned that the Bible is not like every other book. Every comma in the Bible matters. Every punctuation mark, whether semicolon, whether colon, whether full stop, matters. You can't, they mean a particular thing. And every arrangement, that means every other. If, for example, the Bible says, may your body, soul, and spirit be, what's that scripture? That's what that, be built up, or something like that. And grounded and all that. That body, soul, and spirit, when you want to study and you bring spirit, soul, and body, you have distorted something. There will always be a particular order. There is a reason why body came first. There is a reason why soul came first. There is a reason why spirit came first. Do you understand? And then when you come into the Bible, never ever infer. Infer in the sense that never ever assume that this is what it means. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. The moment you begin to assume, that is how people fall into error. Do you understand? Never ever reason outside of the scriptures. That's what I'm trying to say. So while he's writing, I have to ask a question. When you hear the word study, what comes to mind? Let's say you want to study John 3:16. What's one word that comes to mind first? You want to study John 3:16. What's the first thing that comes to your mind to start doing? Relax, so you can give me any answer. It's a practical, how you need a practical class. That's why it's called how to study the Bible. You have what? Yeah, yes, I know. Now, you are seated, you want to start studying. Now, I want to study John 3:16. Now, what's the first thing that comes to mind? What's the next thing that you will do? Just something. What's the next thing you will do? You pray? Prayer is, you prayed already. I'm talking about the action. Prayer is still part of the action. But now you want to start acting like, you want to start studying. We are jumping the gun. You are correct. Don't get me wrong. You are correct. We are all correct. You pray, yes. You get more translations. You read the scripture first. Then after reading the scripture first, yes, that's the person you read the scripture. Then what's the next thing you do? You make sure you understand it. How do you then understand? Now, I hope you know, first of all, I know John 3:16, but I don't understand it. Now, what I'm asking is, how then do I understand? Though we are talking about studying actually progresses from knowledge to understanding, then from understanding to wisdom. So when you are studying, what you do, it's not like you don't know what is in that scripture. You want to understand what is there. So I'm saying, how do you progress from knowledge? What's the bridge from knowledge to understanding? Basically, I was actually expecting you to say question. You start by asking yourself, questioning what's there. So let's start. I heard the punctuation mark there. Okay, let's start. For God what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. One thing I must tell you, I need to say, sorry, sir. I need to stand there. Now, is this. If you want to understand a particular Bible passage so that you don't begin to join folks who take the scripture out of context, you understand? It is better that you read verses before and verses after. Do you understand? Now, if you read this particular Bible passage, you'd notice that it's not standing alone. How do we know it's not standing alone? The statement begins with four. So that tells us something. There is a preceding statement before we can actually get four. So that means before we can even begin to study this, you must understand how did we come about this four? Well, what's the meaning of four? Who can tell us the meaning of four? When you start saying it, for God so loved the world, for this person has done this. What does that tell you? When you begin a statement with four, thank you. Please, can we read verse 15 then, so that we can know what actually precipitated this for? That whoever believes in him. Okay, continue. Then from then, you'd notice that again, begin verse 15. Then if you go back up to verse 14, you will see that another one, and as Moses. So now if we are going to understand what is happening here, we would know, we have to read several verses. We might even have to read from the beginning. Now if you read from the beginning, you would know that it is Jesus and Nicodemus that they are discussing. And they are talking about, you know, salvation and how a man can become born again and all that until they go to this particular point. Do we understand? So now let's do this. If you want to study now, I said the questioning strategy, I'm going to combine two strategies, the questioning and the split strategy. Now, you'd say that for God so loved the world. Now, the first thing that, there are several things we can highlight here. For God, you know, we could skip for, since you understand that based on this four, based on the several verses that we've read, you understand where Paul is coming from, right? Now, we could start our highlighting by this one. This alone is a study. God. This alone is a study. Then, combining this. Now, I hope you know this alone is a study. And this love is a study. This is a study in itself. This and the good that he gave. Now, let's just stop here. We want to understand this particular Bible passage. For God so loved the world. Now, another thing you now ask yourself, why did the scripture not write, for God loved the world? Why did the scripture have to add, for God, why did it have to add so? Do you understand? So that means, and we know that the scripture, there is no mistake in the scripture, right? Like we mentioned yesterday. So that means it's not like it's a typographical error. It's a deliberate insertion error. So that means if the Bible says, for God so loved the world, there must be a reason. What is the meaning of so? Who knows the meaning? When I say, I so ate that person. When I say, now I want you to differentiate between this statement. I ate this person and I so ate this person. What's the difference? There is passion in the other one. So that means you can almost not change my mind about the hatred that I have for this person. Why? Because so actually emphasizes that thing for me. So that tells me something, that God so loved the world. So that means if you are studying with, maybe I should mention here that there are four things you need to study. Let's say you have your dictionary with you. So then will give us intensely. Then I think you mentioned another one. Passionately. Sincerely. Do you know that studying this alone can actually take away worry instantly? Maybe about a particular matter. Do you understand? Just studying so alone in this verse, maybe you are worried about a particular matter. It would have resolved it. Now let's bring them together. For God intensely loved the world. For God passionately loved the world. When you love something with passion, what is the result? Now before we even come to this end, when you love something with passion, what do you think would be the result? Anybody wants to guess? When you love I love this thing with passion. What do you think would be the result? You will pursue it with all your heart. You can do anything for it. You can go to any length for it. You can sacrifice for it. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Beyond the fact that your worry or concerns begin to deplete and go away, this is an encouragement again to pray. Do you know that you'll be encouraged to pray? Now, because you know that God loves me passionately, that one, it would, I think you said, sacrifice for me. Do you understand? That means he will give up his time for me. Do you understand? Okay. What else? That means he loves me so much that it will be, because what you are passionate about, you will be dedicated to. You will give your attention to. So that means God loves you so much that he will give his attention to you. Do you understand? For me, this is an encouragement to pray. It will encourage us to want to talk to God because you know that he loves you. So remember earlier that I said when you come into God's word to study maybe on faith, you won't live alone with faith. God will give you much more than you ever, expected. So let's move on. There are still several. You could continue. The truth is, if you have the time and you really want to know God, you could stay with soul for so long. There are times when I've had to, I just have to move on from here. Because when you, the more you stay with it, the more you will always find something. The more you will always find something. The more you will always find something. You understand? And that is why I mentioned earlier, God has, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has kept eternity in our heart, and there is no end to how much you can enjoy God. So we've learned that, we've jumped to the gun actually, but I just needed to explain so. But let's come back a little bit. In case then,
let's say I'm just starting out, okay, as a Christian. Do I just open my King James that has no references and just be looking at so? Do you understand?
Okay.
So that anybody that wants to practice what you're saying can stand up from here and, or can even start doing it while they are seated there.
Okay. Thank you so much for the question, sir. I thought I would mention it later, but I think it's essential that we mention it now. Studying it. Before you can start to study the things you need to have, you need a notebook. To write whatever you're learning. Are we here? You need a cross-reference Bible. You need a dictionary. Sometimes a Bible dictionary. Then finally, you need Bible translations, different Bible translations. Now, you asked a very, very important question. How can we stay with the word so? Now, let's say you want to just stay with this word so. This is where this man comes in handy. Now, what's a cross-reference? A cross-reference is actually, I don't know if you have a Bible, and then, of course, maybe you have, if you have a Bible app, or you have a Bible, and there's a word, let's say there's a word like God, and there's something, a superscript like this. Do you understand? There's a superscript, like maybe four. Now, if you click on this, or if it's in your physical Bible, this actually leads to several other scriptures. Do you understand? It leads to several other scriptures explaining the same thing. Do you understand? So, if for example, now, I just want to understand, let's say the word so. I want to stay on the word so. Now, one of the ways, of course, this is where meditation also comes into. But one of the ways by which I can stay on it is just, do you know what? I'm not going to go beyond this point. I'm going to look for the cross references, the things that are actually related, scriptures that are related to this particular thing. Do you understand? This particular word. Are you getting it now? So this is where cross reference comes in. Now, it's the same thing with, let's say, like a word like God. Now, I was going to come back to this word God. Now, you understand this word so. And then, of course, they're looking at the word intensely. Now, we've given several synonyms. We've given intensely, we've given passionately, we've given sincerely, we've given deeply, we've given dearly. First of all, the first thing we are doing is we are looking at several, the cross references related to so. That's the one way we can stay on it. Then secondly, if you really, really, really want to understand and we want to continue in it, each of these words, since they are synonyms of this, you can begin to focus on them daily. You can pick only intensely. And begin to imagine, what does intensely mean? What is the meaning of intensely? And you begin to look at the word intensely again. By the time you begin to look at the word intensely again, in relation to this particular scripture, you will begin to understand even deeper the meaning of this word. So, do you understand? By the time you are done, let's say you pick a day with intensely. By the time you come again to God passionately loved the word. By the time you come to the word passionately, and you begin to study the word passionately again throughout that day. Let's say just one day. By the time you are done, you would have understood it and you have gained a deeper understanding. You would have built upon intensely. You would have built upon passionately again to build upon this word. So, do you understand? So, even the synonyms that you get when you have looked up the word and all that, they are very important in your study. So, you can look at course references to study further, or you could look at all the synonyms. Do both of them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Okay, so now let's go back a little bit. In case you have now studied all of this, you've studied so, you've studied intensely, you've studied passionately, sincerely, deeply, dearly, and then you understand it, and somehow the fire is not, okay, maybe you are being fired up and all that. then it is important to now understand, okay, who is this person that so loved me? Do you understand? Okay, why should I take, for example, now, if I say, brother, I love you intensely, that means I'm willing to sacrifice anything for you. I'm willing to do anything for you. But the truth is, because I am human, there is the limit to what I can do for him. Do you understand? When he's in dire need right now, and he's running around, and he tells me about it, the maximum thing I can do is to start running around like him. When he's confused, and he comes to me, I'm confused. I will say, brother, I'm confused too. But the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So that we can understand the personality that is behind this particular statement, then you will go back a little bit and say, okay, who is this God? What qualifies him to be able to, one, use this word? And why should I believe him? Why should I stay inside this world? By the time you come to the word God and you begin to study God alone, by that means, by the time you begin to look at cross references related to God, do you understand? Something, one of the things that will come to your mind, by the time you look at cross reference God, one of the scriptures that will come to your mind is this, Genesis 1, verse 1. That one will come to your mind. So, when you say, okay, who is this God? And then you look at the cross reference. Genesis 1, verse 1. What's in Genesis 1, verse 1, everybody? In the what? So that tells me something. In the beginning, God. Before you even continue, so that tells me something. The personality that is speaking here has been from the beginning. And this personality created the world. Do you understand? Do you understand? I hope you know, creating in that, like I said earlier, the Bible does not mistakenly use words. We may say that, somebody created this particular, we can say, somebody created this generator. No. It's different. Whoever made this generator, made this generator from something that existed. Do you understand? When the Bible uses the word create, it simply means that you bring something to life from something that never existed. Do you understand? So God is a personality who brought the world into existence. Everything you see around from something that did not exist. So when this personality is now saying that, I so love you, I think it should now calm me down that, wait, if this person can create something out of nothing, it means that no matter how seemingly impossible this situation is before me, it seems that it can always create something out of nothing. It can just make something happen for me. Do you understand? That means it encourages me also, like we said earlier, to pray for anything. And I can believe that it can make it happen. Do you understand? Now, of course, when you continue to study this particular word, God, it will link you to several other scriptures. I want to look at a particular scripture that I also saw here. Who is the personality, God? Then it should lead you to John 4, verse 24, Romans 3, verse 4. I want us to read that. If you are studying on the word God, if you are studying this personality, what qualifies this personality to tell us, I so love you, I intensely love you, I passionately love you, I sincerely love you. I want us to look at what qualifies this personality to say that, and why we should believe him. John 4, 24, Romans 3, verse 4.
Mm-hmm. And those who worship him must worship him in truth and spirit.
So this being did not only create the world, this being is a spirit. And everyone who must, relate with him must relate with him in spirit and in truth. Anyone who must relate with him must relate with him sincerely. Come as you are. I think that encourages me also. That tells me that all this whatever that is happening around me is nothing. I can always come as I am. I don't have to be a macho. I don't have to be able to put my words together. Do you understand? I don't have to know too many scriptures to be able to talk to him. I just need to talk to him plainly. Do you understand? Let's read Romans 3, verse 4.
By no means let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say, and prevail when you are judged by sinful men.
Praise God. So that tells us something. The Bible says, let God be true, and every man a liar. So I think we have learned three things now from the scriptures that we have read. What are the three things that we have learned from these scriptures about this personality? Who can tell us? In the beginning, yes, he created the world. What's the second thing about him? He's a spirit, and then God is true. Now, first, we understand about his personality. When we are reading the scripture now, and we want to understand why he loves us so much, one, he created all things. In the beginning, he existed before all things, and he created all things. Secondly, he is a spirit. So that means he does not deal with feelings, I feel this. No. He deals with those who will worship with him. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that means you must relate with him just as you are. Be sincere and all that. Then the third one, you must understand that he is not a liar. Oh, so that tells me something. If he says, for God so loved the world, then I can believe it. That this person is not a liar. Therefore, I believe that. Are we getting something? But like I said, you could stay on this word God. This God, this issue, for weeks. And I already told us how we can do that. You of course, use reference by the time you start using cross-reference Bible, cross-references and all that, there will be several scriptures. Do you understand? But I don't know if you have your cross-reference Bible here, so I'll share everybody what it looks like. How many of us knows what a cross-reference Bible looks like? Now, to further understand verse 8, you come here. So that means the scriptures related to John 3 verse 8 are Ecclesiastes 11, 5, 1 Corinthians 2, 11. Do you understand? Now, the interesting thing is when you get to those scriptures, you will see scriptures again that are connected to it. So that is why it is possible. By the time you use a cross-reference material like, let's say, TSK. Now, let's say you use TSK. That's Treasury of Scriptural Knowledge and all that. TSK can give you, from God, TSK can give you up to like, let me just play around. At least, it can give you 10. At least. 10 cross-references talking about God. His person, his personality, and all that. And of course, that's that. Now, if you have any question, you can stop me. So for God, soul, and soul, we understand this personality, God, right? We understand that he created the world. We understand that he is true. Whatever he says is true. We understand that he expects plainness. Do you understand? And all. So we're okay. Soul loved. So let's just connect the two now. Because soul emphasizes love. So for God, soul loved the world. So now we understand that this personality intensely, passionately, sincerely, deeply, dearly loved. Now let's look at this thing, this particular word, the world. And we just go straight to the point. Who is being referred to here? Yeah. When we say God so loved the world, who is being referred to here? Yeah. It's a simple, straightforward answer. We. Okay, I think I'll prefer... Okay, if talking about we, right? Okay, I think I'll prefer that you use the word your name. So that means if I was actually reading this scripture, what I would say is, for God so loved Ryo. Do you understand? For God so loved Ryo. So that tells me something. Let's say I'm having issues with my academics, and maybe I'm having issues with a particular course. And I'm studying and I'm not getting it and all that. And of course, it seems like things are not working. So I can come here and say that for God so loved Ryo. So that tells me something. I can simply know that one, this personality loves me intensely. And he is willing, like we said earlier, intensely means he is willing to sacrifice anything for me. That means I can talk to him about this particular matter. I can talk to him about my course. I can talk to him about the subject. And he can sort it out for me. Do you understand? And I can be fine. Do you understand? So the word here refers to, of course, you, not the world as in the world system. Now, let's now see. Now, let's see together. For God so loved the world, then what happened? That he gave his only begotten son. I want us to read it together. From here to here. Okay, there are several inferences we can draw from here, but I want us to draw some inferences. So, at least one. What's the obvious inference that we can draw from here? What's the obvious assumption that we can draw from this statement? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what's the first assumption that we can draw? The obvious one. The obvious one that we can draw.
If I'm to use the way we are studying it, I would like to know how special his son is. So I've made him give him up then for me to now know that he really loves me.
Okay, you've jumped the gun.
Yes, but if that's the way I am to look at the scriptures myself, okay. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Who else wants to try? Like, he actually got it, but he went further. But I don't want us to go further. Who else wants to try? I'll call names now. Okay, let's just go straight to the point. So this is it. This is the assumption I want us to draw first. That is so obvious. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The first assumption I want to draw is, love will always prompt you to give. Is that it? I think that's true, right? So love will always prompt you to give. So that means you give because you love. So if God loves me, he will give me. Now, do you know that this statement alone shatters a lot of things? For example, it shatters a lot of religious assumptions like, I give to God, that is why he gives to me. I hope you know he shatters that. So that means he will not give to me because I gave to him. He gives to me because he loves me. Do you understand? That's the first thing. Then it also shatters, there's another inference that I was going to cancel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It also will correct me. If genuinely I'm with the Holy Spirit while studying, one of the things that will come to me is, how can you claim, one of the things, if the Holy Spirit wants to deal with you, how can you claim to love and you don't give? I don't understand your kind of love. Do you understand? So I love my brothers, I love my sisters, and you know, I think it was in the book of 1 John, that if you claim to love your brother, and you see him going through something, and you withhold good from him, how can you claim that God's love abides in you? So that tells me something. It corrects another thing in me again. If I claim to love, am I giving? Do you understand? Because love must always prompt giving. Now, giving does not mean that I start to give money and all that. Am I giving my time? Am I giving my attention? Then, but let's look at another thing. That he gave his only begotten son. Now, another inference that we can draw from this is this. That giving will always be sacrificial. We are not studying, we are still making some assumptions that can also help us grow. We've not started studying at all. I hope you know. So that's it. But then let's leave, because we can draw several assumptions from this that can help us. But let's stop there. So now that he gave his only begotten son. Of course, the next question that will be, why did he give? He gave because he loved the world too much. So the next question is, what did he give? He gave his only begotten son. So what's the big idea? He gave his only begotten son. So what's the big idea? What's so special about his only begotten son? Then that will now bring to them, he gave his only begotten son. Why must we make a big deal out of this only begotten son? Do you understand? So now the next study comes, only begotten son. That means only tells us what? Begotten tells us what? Look at your dictionary. Look at your dictionary, please. Only means one. Begotten means what? Let's look at it. The only son that actually came from him. Of course, what I have here in my dictionary, not my Bible dictionary, it's generated by procreation. Generated by procreation means that the only son that came directly from him. Do you understand? So God so loved the world that he gave his only one person, one son that he had. Now, then, of course, then the next question the next thing that comes to mind is, Jesus is God's only begotten son. Now, then the next thing that should come to your mind is, why is Jesus God's only begotten son? What qualifies him? Why is he not me? Do you understand? Why is it not that? For God so loved the world that he gave Messiah. Why didn't he give me? Why didn't he? Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. So I think we should look at 1 John 5:7, then John 1:1. He should have given me now, Abby. He should have given you. Also, quote unquote, special about this Jesus that he had to give him. Let's look at 1 John 5:7. again. John 1:1. The Father, the Word, and these three are one. Now let's look at John 1:1. Of course, we know John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You understand? So that means, what qualifies Jesus? Why is Jesus the only begotten Son? It's because he's a part of the Trinity, and he is the Word of God. And that is why. And so that means, because we understand the personality of God as the supreme being, so we can understand that what God gave to us is not something small. God gave us the best. Do you understand? God gave us literally himself. Do you understand? Again, now if you now go back to what you are studying, it means that, so this person did not only love me so much, he gave himself for me. He actually proved that love by giving himself. He could have given a ram. The Bible could have said, for God so loved the world that he gave a ram for me. And nothing would have changed anything. You could have given for God so loved the world that he gave a house for this person. No. For God so loved the world that he gave himself for me. That sort of encourages your faith, right? That should encourage your faith, I guess. I want us to read this through. Then tell me why this statement was actually included in this particular statement. Do you understand? So I want us to together now read this entire statement through. Then tell me why this last statement is included in the first statement. Do you understand? So, I want us to read this through. Want to go? Okay, so now draw the first assumption, the first inference. So now, why is this last statement included with the first one? Who wants to try? It's obvious. It's still obvious. Pass the mic emoji.
Because it tells us why he had to give, the purpose of the sacrifice.
Exactly. Do you understand? So it tells us, just in case you don't understand, it's good that this is encouraging your faith. It's good that now you can come to God based on your academic issues and because you know that he loves you, blah, blah, blah. But the most important reason, it tells you the most important reason why he gave his only begotten son is why? That whoever, what is whoever? What does whoever mean? Whoever, what does it mean? Any what? Wait, let me understand the word anybody. Anybody means what? So that means even if the person is a barbarian, even if the person is a Jew, even if the person is just seemingly a nobody, that means whoever means anybody, everyone, and all that. Now, whoever does what? Now, see, another thing you should know is this. This word believe, it seems simple. But like I said, for the other words that I mentioned, you could stay on the word believe. What does it mean to believe? Because the Bible says, whoever believes, let's even stick it to believes in him. What does it mean to believe in him? What does it mean to believe in God? I want to believe in God. Jesus Christ speaking to the people. He said, this is the work. He said, what shall we do that we may work the works of the Father? Jesus Christ responded to them. This is the work of the Father, that you should believe in the one whom he has sent. That's the only thing you must do. So, I am told here that whoever believes in him, what does it mean to believe in him? To trust, okay. Please, I want us to note, while we are still answering this question, I want us to note the next one. What is the result of trusting in him? Please hold on to that question. So continue now. What does it mean to believe in him, to trust in him? What's the next one? Rely on him. To have faith in him.
True.
As he's speaking, you're using grammar to answer grammar. No, you're correct, actually. But it's better that you simplify things for yourself.
Accept as true.
Accept. You know that's simplistic, you know. To accept as true. You understand? So let's leave it at that. Now, when I believe in him, when I say that I believe in him, it means that I trust in him, right? It means that I rely on him, right? It means that I accept him as true, right? Okay, now, I believe in him. Now that I've understood what it means to believe in him, what is the resulting action? What is the action that will result when I say that I believe in him? Do you understand? Okay, I've accepted him as true. I trust in him. I rely on him. What is the resulting action? We are all going to give different... We are going to give personal answers. When you say that you believe in Jesus, can I have the mic? Okay, when I say that I believe Jesus, I accept him as true. What will result?
I will have eternal life.
You are giving me scriptural answer. I'm talking about yours. For example, when I say that I, Yusuf Isaiah, believe in him, it means that because I accept him as true, I'm willing to wait for him for whatever I'm trusting him for. I am trusting him for some things. So that means because I believe in him and I accept him to be true, then I can wait for him. Do you understand? Okay, so that's my own issue. What about you?
It means that I can trust anything he has told me or that he has said about me.
Thank you so much. The next person, if you have anything to say, if you don't, pass the mic. When you say that I believe God, I accept him to be true. Sister Adria.
I will be able to depend on him.
And depend on him is still trusting him, but no problem. Moji. When I say that I trust him, when I say that I'm saying now that I believe in him, what is the resulting action? Do you understand? What is the action that will result from me believing him? Do you understand? So.
Then I can be sure that he will give me life in him.
You can be sure that he will give you life in him. That's beautiful. Thank you. Then you can also be sure about all the scriptures, everything that he has written in the scriptures. You can be sure that when he says that the foundation of the Lord stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Let those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You can be sure that if you believe him, that's true. And when the Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners, when you hear people say, I can stay with these people and I will not be corrupt, if you believe that God is true, you will tell yourself, this person is lying, he's deceiving himself. The Bible has already said it, that evil communication will definitely corrupt good manners. So however perfect you may be in the midst of imperfect people, if you continue to stay with them, you will become imperfect too. Do you understand? So that is what it means to believe in him. So that means that whoever, so that means if for God so loved Raya that he gave his only begotten son, that if Raya believes in him, that his trust, rely on, accept him as true, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, this word perish, of course, destruction and all that. But what's the essence to have everlasting life? This particular word, everlasting life. What's another word for everlasting life? Eternal life. Eternal life, right?
Welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
You could stay on this word, everlasting life or eternal life, for months. And one of the things you would realize is this. Eternal life is not just a life that we're going to enjoy later. Eternal life is the very life of God, the very nature of God. And you notice that according to that John 11:25 to 26, what happened there, the reason why Jesus Christ quoted that particular passage is because he raised up a man from the dead. So that tells me something. If everlasting life dwells in you, if eternal life dwells in you, it tells me something that everything that is dead in a person should come to life. Do you understand? So now, do you understand where the concept of a Christian is not permitted to be dull mentally? Do you understand where it comes from now? Do you understand? So do you understand where the concept of a Christian is not supposed to be diseased, quote and unquote, that divine healing is yours? Do you understand if you believe that? Do you understand? So do you understand the concept where the Bible says that whatsoever I do it shall prosper? In the scripture, Psalm 1 verse 3, And then, you know, Genesis 39:2-3, where the Bible says that whatever the righteous man does shall prosper. This is where it's coming from. Because of the life of God in the person. That life inside that person causes that person to prosper. But do you know one thing? Now, when you are doing your study very well, one of the things you notice is this. This, achieving this thing, that is, annexing this particular word, everlasting life, is dependent on what? It's dependent on what? So that means if I don't believe in him, I will not do what? So that means I can be professing to be a Christian and I don't believe in him. And therefore, Lord, everlasting life will not be at work in me. Do you understand? So now, is there any question, any contribution or blah, blah? Still have time. But basically, if we get a scripture now, like a Bible verse, can we study it? Now, when we talked about a phrase in a verse, this is what we mean by a phrase in a verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You could decide that that's what you are going to study. And then I said earlier that you could decide that, okay, from this old verse, you could decide that you just want to study God. Because you want to understand the personality speaking here. Or you could decide that you want to study for God so loved the world. Or you could decide that you want to study gave his only begotten son. Why is Jesus the only begotten son? So I told you earlier that we are going to combine the questioning and the split strategy. What we've done is we've combined them, we've questioned, asked questions based on all these things that we have here, and then we splitted them one after the other to understand them. Go ahead, please.
Using cross-reference, don't you think it can cause confusion for someone who's just starting? Like, for example, when we dealt with God just now, and then we went to John 4:24. And he says, those that will worship God, that will come to him, must come to him in spirit and in truth. Don't you think it can cause confusion for someone, and the person begins to think, how can I come in spirit? The truth part may be easy to understand, but the spirit part, how do I go about that? Don't you think it might cause confusion or more
like
study?
More study, that's what you're saying. I think I will let the leaders, Russia Guru, answer that.
Please, can you ask that question again?
You know, when we are dealing with this, we first dealt with soul of the word, and then we came back to God. So in the God part, we had to check some references. And then we used the John 4:24 that says, those that worship the Father must come to him in truth. God is spirit, yes. Yes, no, it's not God is a spirit now. It's the aspect of those that are coming to him now. That has to do with coming in spirit and in truth. The truth part can be understandable because I understand English and I know I must be truthful when I'm coming to him. But the spirit part, how do I understand that if I did not know before? And I'm just doing it for the first time.
Alright. For a beginner, first thing you must know, which I think I've been taught or touched yesterday, is that not just for a beginner, for everybody. If you are coming to God or to the Word, or you want to study the Word of God, the most important instrument is your heart. Did you talk about it? Your most important instrument is what? Your heart. Even with all this, if your heart is not, if you do not come with the right heart, no matter how mature you think you are, or no matter how immature you think you are, you will be getting a lot of things wrong. So the first thing is that this thing that is teaching us today is actually, he has actually laid a very good foundation yesterday by talking about the heart. And you must also know that in studying the Bible, while I was teaching there, I was thinking about that the Holy Spirit is your teacher. And is the one that determines what he wants to teach you for your growth at that particular time. So sometimes it may not necessarily have to make you take all this word one after the other. It may not necessarily at another time want you to do a word study. It may just be that it wants you to do a fresh study on that particular scripture and it moves you away from there. Do you understand? At another time, it just wants you to do that verse or it wants you to look at, notice the person that is in that particular. So it is not an academic thing. So if you do not come with the right heart, you are going to be confused. So the first thing is that just as good as all these instruments on what do you call it? Study needs, as good as they are. As good as they are not the most important things you need. Do you understand? They are just aids. The most important thing you need is your right heart and the Holy Spirit. Of course, you should also know that when you approach the Bible, you should know that the Word of God is a person. Do you understand? So when you come to Him, you are not coming to chemistry, physics, and all of that. You are coming to a person that is going to be speaking to you. And that is why when He was speaking, when He was teaching that you, your WhatsApp or your whatever must be off, so that you will give Him the honor and the respect. So if you begin to attend to other things, it looks like you are walking away from Him and you are not giving Him the honor and the respect, He will not open up some things to you. Do you understand? So please, it is important. But if you come to gain academic or to just, you know, you just want to, you will then begin to have issues and begin to, you know, begin to get confused about it. Then you must also know that as a Christian, if you are coming to the Word of God, for someone like me, each time I come, as much as I know that there are so many things to study in the Bible, and just like I said, that eternity is not enough to even finish what you have, possibly even for a scripture, you will come and say, I say that, Lord, I from where is left, we stopped yesterday. We'll continue from there. Do you understand? And I know what is dealing with me on yesterday. So I focus. Maybe we'll still get to that part because there are so many things you can, but you have to also be focused on what He is telling you part time.
I hope you understand His answer. So I think, thank you so much. That's a very good one. So because sometimes when you start to check references and all that, you start going elsewhere, 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 and all that. You know why you came into the scriptures. You know why you want to study. And of course, the Holy Spirit would always lead you. Just stick with why you came. Because of our time, the third one, I would just say the case study. I was going to mention the case study strategy now. Case study here actually talks about maybe you are studying on the issue of sin. You want to understand if sin, how God handles sin and all that. But you want to understand how God relates with people based on sin. So case study strategy will actually tell you, okay, who are the, we could call, decide to choose like three people in the Bible who sinned against God and how God handled them. And people who walked in righteousness and how God dealt with them. For example, you could choose Saul, you could choose Samson, you understand, as people who actually sinned and what sin did to them. You could read the story of Achan, in the Bible, what he did and how God dealt with him. Or then people who walked with God, who walked in righteousness, and how God rewarded them. You could look at Abraham. You could look at David. You could look at who else now? For people who actually disobeyed God, you could look like Jeroboam. Jeroboam really, really disobeyed God and what happened to him. So that's great study, you understand? You could, several other things. So if you're having issues maybe with faith, you want to grow your faith, how do people, what is faith in action? You want to understand faith in action, you understand? So you could begin to read the story of Abraham. You could begin to read the story of Noah, you understand? You would realize that in a particular place, Jesus Christ, God speaking about Noah said that, and Noah did everything that God commanded him. So if you are learning on faith, you would know that, okay, the reason why Noah had victory with God was because he did everything that God commanded him. So you'll be able to learn, okay, all I need to do is to walk by faith. And then the fourth one, which is the most important, is application. You must apply the word of God that you have received. If you are studying on anything, you must apply it. You must, like we mentioned yesterday, you must make up your mind that you are going to be actively, you are going to be in active obedience of God's word. If you make, if you don't obey God's word, it won't keep opening to you. I think we said yesterday, God is not, quote unquote, a blabbermouth. God is not just someone who wants to talk. If we spoke to you yesterday about a particular matter and you have not made the correction yesterday, when you come to him again today, if he wants to have mercy on you, he will talk to you about the same matter again. He won't go beyond that matter. If he wants to show you and train you, he won't say anything. The word will not open to you. Nothing will happen. You will just say everything is dry. Until you make that change, nothing will happen. Do you understand? So even if it's just a little change that you can make after reading that, after studying, make sure you make that little change. Why? Because the more you make that change, the more the Holy Spirit works in you and helps you to keep changing. The Bible says, he that is faithful in little will be faithful in much. If you are not faithful in the little that you are learning, you can never be faithful in much. Praise God. So now I want us to quickly, because we have to close now. Now, the next thing that comes to mind is, what happens after study? Now, you are finished studying. You want to stand up and you want to leave. Is that all there is to it? No, that's not all there is to it. The next thing that happens is meditation. And let me tell you something. What makes you a Christian? Eh? The reason why... Okay, let me just tell you this. One of the questions that I love asking my disciples is this. Why is it that I can't catch you unaware? Unaware is like, why is it that I can't catch you getting angry? I can't catch you doing something wrong. You understand? I'm not saying he is perfect, blah, blah, blah. No. Why is it that I cannot just stumble into your place and you're doing something wrong? You understand? Or you're saying something wrong. Why is that? And then, of course, you have to tell me that. See, the truth is this. The only reason why you can always stay in the Spirit, the only way you can overcome sin and all those anger issues and all that is by staying in the Spirit. And one of the strongest ways by which you stay in the Spirit is through meditation. If you don't meditate on God's word, the truth is this. The bulk of the sin you will ever commit will always start with your thoughts. The Bible says, guard your thoughts with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So that means where the devil will attack a person is through the, you know, through the thoughts. Do you understand? So meditation is extremely important. So meditation is thinking on scriptures by the help of the Holy Spirit. It is important that you write that down. Meditation is thinking on scriptures by the help of the Holy Spirit to gain understanding and insight into the meaning of the scripture to be able to put it into practice. Because of our time, I want you to write Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. Excuse me. Meditation is thinking on scriptures by the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's say the Holy Spirit has taught you, you've just finished studying and the Holy Spirit has taught you, I love you so much. You know, for God so loved the world that I love you so much that I give my only begotten son. That is what the Holy Spirit has just taught you. When you rise up, because you would always have to study all the time, you will have things to do. Maybe you are washing, that means you are doing your laundry, you are doing the dishes, or you are walking on the street, or you are taking a long walk and all that. You could be asking, you begin to meditate like that. Call this thing to mind again. I'm beginning. Okay, so Joshua 1:8. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. 1 Timothy 4 verse 15 to 16. I think you write it on the board. So let me just go on. Let me talk about the stages in meditation. Write down the stages in meditation. There is assimilation. There is regurgitation. There is mastication. There is absorption and there is digestion. I'll take it again. Stages in meditation. That is assimilation, regurgitation, mastication, absorption, and digestion. Now, the Holy Spirit has just taught you, for God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. Now I'm walking on the road and I want to meditate on it by the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I usually do and suggest is when you are finished studying, always, of course, pray about what you have studied. For example, for God to love you, you could pray something like, Lord, please help me to understand your love for me. Help me to accept it and help me to live by it. As you rise up, of course, the Holy Spirit would want to continue with you. So assimilation is you have just finished studying. That means you have assimilated it. You have the knowledge. Regurgitation is you bring it back. You bring it back to your thoughts, what you have just learned. So for God's sake, when you are walking on the road or you are having your bath or you are getting ready to go out or something, so you are thinking, okay, you are having your bath and you are showering. For God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. And why does God love me so much? Why? What's so special about me? You understand? So scriptures, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you to scriptures. He could lead you to Psalm 8, verse 6. Who is man that you are mindful of him and all that. And that man, it could lead you to Genesis 1, verse 27, I think to 28. Why does God love you so much? Because God created you in his own image. What does it mean to be created in his image and his likeness? Then likeness could now take you to maybe something like 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4. So you are thinking on scriptures based on the help of the Holy Spirit. Mastication is you are properly, though, when you call to mind, that's regurgitation. Mastication is you are actually dissecting again. Why does God love me? Oh, and then lead to scripture, and then you start connecting scriptures. Absorption. Now, what you are intending to do by breaking it down like that is you are trying to absorb that word that you have learned, that you have studied. You are trying to absorb it into yourself. For the word you know is not what saves you. It is the word you understand that delivers you. Bible says, how shall a young man make his way pure? By giving it according to your word. And then the last one, digestion. Digestion means that thing that you have studied now, it is now part and parcel of you. You now understand that God loves you. And it's no longer a distraction for you. Do we understand? Do we have any question in relation to meditation? Please, it is very important. Studying the word, meditation, they are both very, very important. They go hand in hand. And let me tell you this. If you are not always encouraged to study your Bible, focus on your meditation. It's because you are not meditating enough. Meditation will always prompt you to study. And study will always prompt you to meditation. If you are consistent in meditation, you will always study. Because by the time you are going on the way and the Holy Spirit brings the scripture to your mind while you are meditating, you will open it and study has begun. They are interwoven. Do you understand? It's important that I emphasize again, the only way by which you can make progress in your work with God is to stay in the Spirit. How do you stay in the Spirit? You study the word, you meditate on the word, you are either studying the word or you are meditating on the word, or you are praying, or you are listening to holy songs. But I also love to have this also, that you stay in the company of holy brethren, people who speak the word of God, people who don't make coarse jokes and all that. Do we understand? I want us to bow our heads for prayer. Father, we want to say thank you for today. Thank you for teaching us how to study the Bible. Thank you for the understanding you gave us. Thank you for letting us know that the Holy Spirit is the most important person when it comes to studying the Word of God. Thank you for letting us know that the study of God's Word is not an academic study. No. Thank you because you desire to reveal yourself to us. We say be glorified in Jesus' name. Thank you for the understanding you've given to us via your word. We say be lifted high in Jesus' name. We ask, O God, that from this point onward, let us begin to find ease in studying the word in Jesus' name. Let us begin to find encouragement to study in the name of Jesus. Let us begin to find joy, happiness, peace, O God, delight in your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-80058 080-8133-8536 080 0814099-1321.
Or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life